Yeah, now we understand, of course, like we said earlier on, that it's the World Refugee Day, and we are we're turning our attention to the lives of refugees in South Sudan and the efforts to support them. So joining us from the International Rescue Committee, we have Richard Orengo, the country director. You're most welcome to Radio Miraya this morning.
Thank you very much, Jacob.
Yes, we also have with us Matthew Kellyon, the Deputy Health Coordinator. You're welcome to Radio Miraya this morning.
Thank you very much.
And we have with us Savina Uma, the Women Protection and Empowerment Program Manager. Welcome to Radio Miraya.
Thank you so much, Jacob.
Yeah, you know, the IRC works in five states and one administrative area, supporting refugees, the returnees, and the host communities with health protection and livelihood programs. Now, let's start with a big picture as we commemorate the World Refugee Day. How would you describe the IRC's main focus in South Sudan right now, especially in supporting refugees and displaced families, Richard?
Thank you very much, Jacob. I think this is a very, very important question, and this is a very, very important day where the world comes together to think about the refugees. As we know that South Sudan is one of the countries that is both a host country, which means that refugees come in South Sudan, but historically we have known South Sudan as a source country, a country where refugees come from, all over the region, whether it is Kenya, Ethiopia, Tanzania, or all these places, you will find refugees from South Sudan. But since the conflict in Sudan a few years ago, we have seen Sudan being a source country where refugees are moving into South Sudan. So it is safer to come in South Sudan. At the moment, according to UNHCR, we have over 570,000 refugees in different parts of the borders around South Sudan who are moving from different conflict. And the main conflict is the conflict that we have seen now in Sudan. So what does IRC do? IRC supports and works in collaboration with other agencies like the UNHCR to make sure that refugees are, first of all, documented as they come into the country. So we have stations where refugees are documented, refugees are recorded and registered so that we know how many are refugees. But also you need to understand that in the process of refugees, there are people who are seeking asylum, people who don't want to go back to their country. So we record them. And then they move into places where they are hosted. And these could be camps, these could be refugee centers. And in those centers, they get a number of services. And some of those services include health services that we provide to them, treatment of children, immunization and vaccination. We also provide services like women protection, where we provide prevention of GBV, but also response to gender-based violence. We also work in those camps to be able to provide refugees with support that can help them generate their own livelihood, because we know refugees, when they come, they're hosted in a community. They're not staying in an open field. They're hosted in a community. So that means that their hosting brings strain to the resources that are in that community, and this can be a source of conflict between the refugees and also the host community. So we support them to be able to generate livelihood so that we don't have refugees getting involved in crime and other activities, so that we don't have refugees getting involved with what we call negative coping mechanisms, where you see things like exploitation of refugees, whether they're children, whether they're women, or even adults. So these are some of the things that we do to make sure that when refugees come to the country like South Sudan, then they're protected, because refugees are human beings. Mm-hmm. They have rights. The only problem is that they're running away from a difficulty, a condition, a conflict in their home country. So this is a very, very important day where we sit together and reflect on the plight of refugees and how we as a people, both government, private sector, the UN agencies and the humanitarian community, can be able to support the refugees to settle in the communities where we are, but also to advocate further so that there's peace back home and refugees can ultimately go back home to their normal lives, to their land, to their houses, and to their families where they'd run away as a result of the conflict.
All right. Just add to that, you know, with the conflict in Sudan, sending thousands of people fleeing across the border, I mean, how has that changed the nature of your response on the ground?
I think this is quite critical, because as I can say, IRC has been working in South Sudan for over 20 years, and this is quite a challenge, because in South Sudan, there's already an ongoing protracted conflict. You know that in South Sudan, there are many places where we have internally displaced people staying in camps around UN agencies where they are protected because of the conflict in South Sudan. So IRC has been responding to that over the years. With the conflict in Sudan, it means that on top of responding to the needs of the people in South Sudan who are affected by the ongoing internal conflict in the country, who are affected by things like climate crisis, like floods. You know that there are many places in the country where people are displaced because of floods. Then with the conflict in Sudan, then additional strain is put not just on our capacity as an organization, but also on the resources that we have to be able to support South Sudanese, because now we have to share those resources with new people who are coming in. Mm-hmm. I've told you that in South Sudan currently, there are over 570,000 refugees. It means that these additional people come in and we have to support them as well, because we are an organization that respond to displaced people, people affected running away from conflict, people affected or running away from climate crisis. Mm-hmm. So we have to stretch the little resources that we have brought to support South Sudan to be able to support additional people who are coming in. So this is one very major strain and challenge that come for us. We have to get additional people to be able to support the needs of these refugees. The people of Sudan, their context could also be the same as the people of South Sudan, because it was one country previously, but then they're also from different countries. You know, they have different needs. So how do you make sure that they're able to be supported differently? So that means we have to get additional people, additional capacity, and that puts a lot of strain on our capacity. There are some areas where refugees enter the borders, and we were not working in those areas previously. But because number of refugees entering that border could have increased, then we have to open new offices in those places. We have to take machinery and vehicles and staff to be able to support those refugees. So the influx of refugees as a result of the conflict in Sudan has strained our ability to be able to support South Sudan, because now we have to consider both South Sudanese who are internally displaced and are in the country facing challenges, but we also have to respond to the needs of people who are coming in from Sudan who are additional refugees, both refugees and also what we call the asylum seekers.
All right.
That also creates another issue, because when resources are strained, you know that South Sudan, they already are resource constrained. So when resources are strained, the people we call the host communities, whom we are trying to convince to host these communities, then start having a problem, because sometimes there could be crime that is committed, there could be violence that has been committed, and we have seen cases where, because of these trends, we have had demonstrations in some of the camps where refugees are demanding more water. Because of the funding cuts, you know that in some cases we reduce food ratio that we provide, whether it is from the UN agencies or other agencies. And this has caused strife and make it difficult for us to be able to support the work that we do.
All right. Let me come to Matthew. You know, South Sudan itself is facing challenges of its own. And now there is conflict that displaces people. And you reach out to remote communities in Jonglei and Maban. And help us understand the challenge that you face in delivering aid to those areas, and also from the health perspective.
Yeah, thank you very much. As my country director mentioned, the challenges that the country is facing is quite immense. We have refugees coming in, but we also have displaced population within the country facing challenges related to health. So with the ongoing conflicts happening across Sudan, of course, we have been having influx of the refugees coming into the camps, being hosted in Mabanas, one of the camps in the country. So one of the health response that we have been providing in Maban campus in terms of the primary health care is we have been running primary health care services, basic primary health care services within the camp, but also providing secondary health care within Maban itself through Bunch Hospital. So then the refugees coming in are able to access the basic primary health care services. So the basic primary health care services include the consultations, clinical consultations, but also patients that need admissions. They're able to be admitted. They're able to receive the care while they are being admitted. The other services include to the children. Immunization is very key. We have seen that some of the children that are coming across the country do not have immunization history, and so we have been working together with the local with the partners, especially UNHCR and other partners, to ensure that at the point of entry these children access immunization services. But also in addition to that is nutrition. We have seen that children coming in a very good nutrition status, so IRC has been working with the partners to ensure that the children are screened so that there is early detection of undernutrition so that the children can be able to receive nutrition services. But also in terms of the maternal child health care, we try to provide basic maternal child health care services in emergency setting. And again, we have been, as IRC, we've been able to provide basic antenatal care services to the mothers that come, safe deliveries to ensure that mothers do not really die while they are giving birth. We all know that South Sudan has is one of the countries in the world that has had the highest maternal mortality rate as per the WHO reports. So as an organization, we try to work towards reducing maternal mortality through amongst the very vulnerable population through having antenatal care services, safe deliveries. We also have post-abortion services, family planning services. All these, of course, together with the child health care services, including immunization, to ensure that mothers have to live without dying while they're giving birth. The children are able to live and they're not able to get the diseases. Usually, the, for example, the vaccine-preventable ones. Mm. So,
All right. Thank you. Let's also hear from Auma. From you know, majority of these refugees, we learn are actually women, particularly. I mean, you have visited probably most of them. So, what would you say?
Thank you so much. As mentioned by the country director and what Masha has added on, we work women protection and empowerment, focuses on intervention, in basically to address the issue of gender-based violence, providing response intervention and prevention intervention through case management, psychosocial support, and also linking the victims of gender-based violence to other service providers through strong referral mechanism and ensuring, working together with the community key stakeholders to ensure the safe environment for women and girls, because we all know women are the most vulnerable and always the affected among the population, especially the refugees. They come when they are in need of a safe environment to live on. And how do we create that a conducive environment for women and girls in the refugees with all the challenges, the difficulties, the constraints, and so on? Yeah, so basically IRC works to support and make sure the women have, there is promotion of promotion of dignity, respect, and also other protection services for women.
Yeah, we do understand the challenges are always enormous and they're never ending. I mean, what about the progress that have been made so far? I mean, and also a story of a refugee family that has been able to rebuild their life with the support of the IRC.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to give you an example of one of the refugee, a 30-year-old refugee, Amal, who flew the conflicts in Sudan, from Nuba Mountain and to South Sudan, and currently living in Pamir refugee camp. When Amal arrived to a refugee settlement in Pamir, of course with all the challenges, but through other women, the peer groups, he happened to hear that we have a safe, friendly space, women center within Pamir, where women go and come together. There are different skills. Women, they take them through so they can rebuild their lives. So women, Amal happened to go to the center, and she picked interest to be trained on the skills, to build her skills on tailoring. Mm. And of course, this tailoring, they take a group of women for a period of 6 to 9 months or a year. Then from there, they're given a startup kit, a package where they can go and establish themselves outside after learning. Mm-hmm. So Amal happened to be one of the beneficiaries. She learned so quickly, and she was given a startup kit of a tailoring machine plus some materials. So she went and started that business. The business picked up, and she's doing very well. She's able to improve on her livelihood, support her family, her children, and children are able to go to school and provide all the other basic necessities. Thank you. All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, there are always tensions between refugees and host communities when resources especially are actually stretched. I mean, what steps are you taking to ease these challenges and promote peaceful coexistence? Let me come to Richard.
I think this is a very, very important question, especially when you're talking about a community that's already strained with a lot of challenges like the communities we have in South Sudan, because there's lack of water, there's lack of health facilities, there's inadequate education facilities. And when you bring in another 570,000 refugees, then that is significantly strained. I think one of the main things that we are doing is to continue working and collaborating with the government of South Sudan to be able to provide these services. Currently, there's a big program that is being implemented by the Ministry of Health, called HSTP, Health Strengthening Health System Strengthening Program, that's funded by the World Bank, that is working a lot to help that we can strengthen the capacity of health facilities to provide health services to both host communities and refugees, working with others to be able to put in, for example, water facilities where people can fetch water and people are not continually struggling over water sources. Being able to promote businesses like the one that you have just been explained to, so that refugees are able to run their own businesses, to generate their own income and not rely so much on the host communities. But we also not just target the refugees. We are also doing these services and this capacity building to the host communities so that they can also benefit, they can also strengthen their capacity, because the assumption sometimes is that the host community is okay. Mm-hmm. But we know that the coastal community in South Sudan is not okay, because they are also going through a very, very protracted conflict. The situation is still not stable, as much as there could be some peace in some places, but people are still struggling. So making sure that our interventions, our services, and our programs target both host communities and refugees is one of the ways in which we are ensuring that we can reduce the conflict. But as you know, the conflict cannot be eliminated. There will always be conflict at the end of the day. Just making sure that there's community cohesion programs, explaining why the refugees are coming, and also working with the local authority and local government to ensure that there are places that have been provided in cases where they cannot integrate. There are places that are provided like IDP camps and refugees camps where refugees can stay safely as we work on integrating and building the capacity of both refugees and host communities to collaborate together and work together.
All right. I would like to come to Metti as well to tell us, I mean, how do you engage in advocacy to strengthen the welfare of the refugees?
I think one of it is right from where they are. The country director has just mentioned about the peaceful coexistence. Mm. So in one of our programming is the governance and rule of law. So through this sector, the IRC tries as much as possible to promote peaceful coexistence. One of the ways is having regular meetings that are organized between the refugees and the host community. So having these regular interactions between the refugees and also host community really tries to promote that peaceful coexistence. And of course, the country director has mentioned about the other services being provided that do not only target the refugees, but also the host community. On the other aspect, in terms of advocating outside, what we're doing now to be able to speak to you and to speak to the country is one of the ways that we are advocating for the refugees to ensure that they are able to receive the bare minimal services, including health, protection, the livelihood, education that we have been mentioning. So we are a voice to the very vulnerable population of the refugees, but also within themselves, those services that they're able to share within the host community. I think that really promotes that the coexistence.
All right. Yeah. Richard, anything you want to add to that?
No, I think this is very, very helpful. And thank you, Radio Mirai, and thank you, Jacob, for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity to amplify the voices of refugees. The refugees don't have an opportunity to come here and talk about their needs and explain to you their needs. Mm. Sometimes people in Juba are very far from them, and getting an opportunity to come here and talk about the needs of the refugees, the importance of this day, which is the World Refugee Day, is quite critical, so that we all remember that as a people. We need to treat refugees as part of our community. And if we involve community in everything that we do, we will ensure that the needs of the refugees and also the needs of the host communities, because most of the time we tend to forget the host community. And in South Sudan, the host communities are also in a vulnerable situation. So we always need to remember that as we talk about refugees today, let us not forget the host community, and let's also continue talking to the government and other stakeholders to ensure that we bring back peace into the country, we start stabilizing the country so that we are able to host refugees, but also negotiate for peace in countries like Sudan so that people can go back to their home countries and continue with their livelihood to continue building the country. I think one of the main difficulties we have as a continent, and I want to talk about Africa, for example, is the fact that we are involved so much in conflict, to a way that we are now delaying development. Other continents and other places are going on with development, but we are so much involved in conflict. And I think it's also time as a continent we stop fighting. We stop fighting ourselves. We can share the resources we have. There's no limit on terms of resources. We can share it. We can all have small pieces of it, and we can come back to peace so that the time we are spending building peace and fighting, we can use that to compete with other countries like China, like the US and other places that are already developing as we continue conflict. So I want to encourage us as a continent and as a people that it's very important that we take our fate in our hands, we look for the future, we join the world in developing our people, but also our continent. Thank you very
much. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Richard. Thank you so much, Matthew. And thank you, Savina, for joining us this morning on the Miraya Breakfast Show. We hope to have you some more times again.
Thank you very much. Okay.
All right, let's wind up here. And up next is the news summary at 8 a.m. Good morning.
101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.